his team is broken and everyone's going to get fired. Cavs coming up at 7:20.
Wait, why would... The Cavs are fine.
No, the Cavs are fine. Shut up. I'm talking about the Browns.
Oh, excuse me. Scared me for a second.
You know what? You're right. The Browns are broken and they're going to get everyone fired. We will then talk Cavs in about 20 minutes, I promise you.
At 6:20.
Yes. Did I say 7?
You did.
6:20.
We'll probably do some at 7:20.
We will probably do some. Oh, yeah, we actually will. I had some slated in because we are upset about times we start now because we can't get upset about the team, so we get upset about times so that way they start their games.
That's got to be one of the most frequent tweet I am getting. I'm not on Twitter as much lately, X as much, but we're getting a lot of, you guys better be talking Cavs all day on Monday. And it's like, yeah, I get it because
we'll talk a lot of Cavs.
We want to get something that we can get excited about and, you know, celebrate. Yeah. And this Tuesday game against the Celtics is like the game of the year. This, something I'm looking forward to this. Like I've never looked forward to a November game before. Yeah. The thing is, it was the Hornets last night. You were 10-point favorites.
Even without Donovan Mitchell.
I don't know how much there is to squeeze out of that.
I want to yell. Well, it's almost like your children, because I want to yell at the Browns and say, why can't you get your act together like your brothers? I got the Cavs, I got the Gardos, and then the Browns are just, I'm like, man, you just can't get your act together. And now you got guys jogging around yesterday.
Well, they quit.
You come off a bye week and you're jogging around.
They quit.
And, I'm so sick and tired. I'm so sick and tired of looking like an idiot every single time I try to talk about this team and their talent and all that crap. You want to tear the thing down, then tear the damn thing down. I don't care anymore, Tone. I don't. If they're not going to care, why the hell should I? Why should I care? Why should I make my Sundays and sit there and try to write down? You know, I had a football banquet I had to go to yesterday. I went right back home afterwards, and I'm rewinding and going through and trying to write it. And you lose by 21.
I don't think people did care yesterday. Do you think people cared?
No, the Browns or the fans?
I don't think either.
Oh, okay.
I think by the fourth quarter.
I'm not yelling at the fans.
I have never gotten fewer texts about the Cleveland Browns. I'm being dead serious than yesterday. And then once the Cavs game started, it was like a Browns game normally.
Yeah.
So I think the fans, you said, why should I care? I think you're in the minority.
I'm not yelling at the fans. I'm yelling at the team.
No, not who's yelling at the fans. I'm saying the fans probably made the right move if they were watching anything else but the Browns yesterday.
I mean, my God, I can't.
At least they did make it entertaining for three quarters. I did for once say, wow, this is actually a fun football game to watch for the Browns.
Dustin Hopkins is sucking up the room. What does Bubba Ventrone do? You moved on from Mike Prefer, and I was like, okay, fine, go ahead, move on from Mike Prefer. And I know everybody liked him when he played here. How are special teams that much worse? They haven't gotten any better. They haven't gotten any better. How are special teams that much worse? And it's not about Dustin Hopkins missing kicks. I mean, kickers get the yips with good special teams coaches. That happens. I'm talking about your punt coverage, kick return coverage. I mean, this is, if you're not ready for it, then go to some other team and go figure it out with somebody else. I can't have it anymore. So this is a team.
Well, he signed him to a 3-year extension.
Which one?
Hopkins.
Okay. Well, again, it's just another.
You're going to hear more about dead cap. That's going to be the most frequent thing you hear about the Browns over the next 3 years.
Just another wonderful contract we can be behind on. That sounds good. Because everything we do to invest in the future, it seems to blow up in our face. Every investment in a player that they make seems to blow up in our face. How much longer does Juan Thornhill have on the contract? How much dead cap space is on that if you cut him after this year? I want to know. But last week,
the slowest Cleveland Brown you have ever seen? I thought about that yesterday.
I don't know how fast he could be if he's jogging.
That was a jog? You saw a jog? I don't know what I saw there.
I'm not even trying to be nice.
He knows these games count in standings and people bet on him, right?
Maybe he's hurt again. I don't know.
He does have that Browns tattoo.
Oh, that's right.
Any idiot can get a tattoo. I can get a tattoo. If I got a Browns tattoo, you going to put me in the secondary?
You'd be just as good right now.
I would have just as much business in that secondary as he does, apparently.
Maybe Anthony was right. He didn't know who Juan Thornhill was when we signed him.
Eventually, it will wash over me. I think Friday is going to be the day. Friday is going to be the day where I lose my voice. Friday will be it. Because because you know what's going to happen. Like, I walked in. I swear to God, I had this thought. We got What's Wild Around the League at 7:40 and 8:45. And I'm going, well, which one am I going to pick? There's plenty of things to pick. And I go, well, at least we're not the Jags. And I go, at least we're not the Jags yet. Because I'm saying, well, they've quit on Doug Peterson. I go, what was that yesterday? They didn't quit on Kevin Stefanski? We lost by 21. Loss is a loss. They lost 52-6 yesterday in Detroit. We could certainly go ahead and lose 52-6 against Pittsburgh. And I'm thinking Thursday might be the day. We could go out there. And by the way, the weather's going to be terrible. The weather's going to be absolutely atrocious. So that means we're going to sell our tickets. Steeler fans are going to buy these tickets. Lima, you are the ticket maven. You know how this is going to go. It's going to be a sea of yellow and black. We're going to lose that game. We'll probably look like hell doing it. And then Friday morning is the day I lose my voice and lose my mind. Friday morning's the day. Friday morning's the day I say things that I end up in an office about. That's going to be the one.
What, just because it's
today? I'm trying to hold on to
the Steelers and what the scene is going to be there.
It's going to be thoroughly embarrassing, and it's going to rub your nose in it. That's what it's going to do. I got one team that finds a way to rob Peter to pay Paul, that gets into a knife fight, that wins every single game they possibly can, and then we have us. And if damn it, if we just ain't going to win our way, we ain't going to win it. That's the way it's going to be. Again, you could put Kevin Stefanski, you could put Ken Dorsey, you could put any person you possibly want to. They have quit. This thing is garbage, and I don't know what to make of the final seven games. We have seven games left after this. Stick them at 10 in the morning. Play them all in Europe so we can get them out of the way. No, people go, well, we got to move this Monday night game. Move them all to Europe and get them out of the way as soon as you possibly can. It's a chore. That's what it's become, a chore.
Well, that's the thing, though.
And people
yesterday,
would rather do their own chores than watch them.
I tell you, Ken, for three quarters, I was actually entertained. Like, I've seen bad Browns football and then be boring. For three quarters, I was actually entertained. I don't know what happened in the fourth quarter. All of a sudden, they were running right at you,
We'll play a complete game next year. Maybe we'll get to four quarters next year. We'll have that ramp up where nobody plays in the preseason and nobody practices in the preseason. We'll just assume it's all going to come together. It's what we'll do. That's what we'll do. And we'll fight about whether or not the quarterback still has talent or not, or whether or not he's afraid of his own shadow. I mean, that's what the guy became. He became Punxsutawney Phil. Has Deshaun seen his own shadow? Well, six more weeks of losing. I mean, that's what they are.
That's the other thing.
That's the only thing I have left is to rant and rave and get ready to talk about the Cavs.
How about you just mentioned Deshaun Watson. Was he even referenced at all yesterday as part of the... So it's so crazy because that's what a lot of us think. Like, if we were to ask...
Talk about Punxsutawney Phil in July.
Well, what went wrong with the Cleveland Browns?
He's gone.
When they talk about the 2024 Cleveland Browns, what are people going to say? That thing was derailed from the start because of Deshaun Watson, right? That is what people are going to say. And then the whole thing caved inwards. Then your coach, who had been two times, not one, but two Coach of the Years coming off a magical run last year, looked like he has no desire to be there anymore. I mean, going through the motions in a post-game press conference, there is no, like, you are seeing coaches around the league get fired up like crazy. And Kevin, it sounded like a preseason loss afterwards.
Yeah.
Okay, so what went wrong? They're all going to say... Well, Deshaun Watson sabotaged the entire thing, which I think is kind of letting everybody else off the hook, too.
Yeah.
But then yesterday I'm watching the game going, Deshaun Watson's not here. The broadcast doesn't mention him.
Yeah.
The team is done mentioning him. It is so bizarre that this elephant in the room is not even a part of this. All these fans that yesterday were apathetic and you know, you're showing some emotion early on today, but it all stems from that, and now it's not even part of the discourse anymore.
Don't you find that bizarre? They're not good. It's not, you know, I think that people keep thinking about the 2 years left that you have on the deal, the guy that isn't there anymore.
Like, where is he? Does anybody know where he is?
I have no idea.
Is he not allowed to attend games?
The one time he attended a game last year, people thought he fell asleep.
Yeah.
Which he did kind of look like Bernie from Weekend at Bernie's. So anytime he shows up, people just don't like it. And I think that that's the difference. I think that people are just sitting there thinking, you know, if it's enough to think about a future quarterback and think about a bright future and think about a different coach or whatever, but you still have 2 years left on this deal. And I've said it myself, it's Brown's prison. So if you know that you're not going to have parole for another two more years, might as well get comfy. Might as well get comfy, find a good book, find religion, do whatever you need to do the time and not let the time do you. Because to go down there and to look listless in the fourth quarter in a game you had a chance against, and they had Taysom Hill and they had Alvin Kamara, and they were doing a couple of misdirection things, as you had mentioned before the show, which eventually you were able to get sort of kind of figured out. But then in the fourth quarter when they just went right down on you and when you gave up the punt return, the long punt return that may as well have been a touchdown because that's a, they ended up scoring on it. Anyway, I mean, that was it. And the games where I'm able to call you before the end of the game, so those are the worst games. And that's what I did. With 3 minutes left to go, I decided to call you and start our phone call early. And that's where we went because we knew that this thing was out of hand and it was going to be out of touch for the rest of this evening.
Here's how I know you're dead on with a chore, apathy. I saw the Browns quit yesterday in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
You would have thought I would have been like, I'm a sports talk show host in Cleveland. I have got to listen to the post-game show. I've got to hear Kevin Stefanski. You know what I did yesterday after the game? I went to Red Zone, and I watched everything else, and then the Bills game started against the Chiefs, and I didn't care. And then I started going back.
Oh, really?
Then I started going back because I knew he wasn't going to say anything, and I knew the conference would sound like every other press conference identical. And then I heard stuff like this yesterday.
You're 14-14 going in the fourth quarter, and then we didn't finish in any phase, and that's very frustrating for me, for our players, for our coaches. But we got to learn from it, and then we got to move on because we got one Thursday night at our place, and that's where our focus is going to go.
He's done. He's done. Guys, it's hey, man, I can try to make an argument all I want. There's no point in making an argument. If he's not going to make an argument.
Does that even sound like a guy who's fighting for his job?
I'm serious. Get Mike Vrabel in an office and offer him anything he wants. If you want a clean house, fine. I'm that damn desperate.
Did that sound to you like somebody who wants to be here after this year fighting for a locker room?
No.
Fighting for a job.
No.
Fighting to beg under Jimmy Haslam and Paul DePodesta and Andrew Berry about a job situation, security. He sounded like he did at the Greenbrier. He sounded the same, the exact same.
We got more.
For all of our guys, certainly the effort's there. It's great. The frustrating part is to not come out of here with a win. It doesn't take away some of those good things, but just it's frustrating when you play like we did in that fourth quarter.
No, it's not. It's not there. It's not there. It's not there. These are just things that we're saying to get through the press conference because you know the cold, hard truth of it. So there's seven games left to go. I'm serious. Get your plans ready for the future because this team has given up. And I could, last week I wasn't ready to say, they're going to get him fired. We all know how this is going to go. They're going to get him fired. They're going to get the general manager fired. Well, the general manager might have got himself fired with all these choices. Jed Wills was inactive because of his knee injury. He was inactive. And then DeJuan Jones went down. Will Jed Wills play next Sunday or on Thursday? I beg your pardon. Will he play on Thursday?
I think he has to, doesn't he?
Does he? Does he have to? 10th overall pick.
Well, you're either doing that or you're cutting him.
Yeah,
it's got to be one or the other now.
Offer him everything. Get Vrabel in a room. Maybe you already have. Get Vrabel in a room. Make your plans. I know we're not allowed to discuss these things because there's contracts and everything. All power will be given to you. Let him pick his general manager. Let him pick everybody and move on because this ain't going to work. This is at the end. You're not going to get your players back and you're not going to get your fans back. That's not the blame. Like when you fire somebody, it's about like you put it on them. I'm not putting it on him. I'm saying what's going to get your players back that you have to bring back and what's going to get your fan base back involved because this is apathy. This is apathy. Look at the phone box. This is apathy. I'm the maddest person here. They don't care. They're waiting for us to talk Cavs. So what's going to get your fan base back? The guy who used to play for the Bucks, the guy who was local, the guy who was unceremoniously let go of a terrible situation, as you can see down in Tennessee, and a guy who you're going to go, okay, here's all the power. You wanted the power. You're the closest thing to Belichick that anybody's going to find without Belichick, except you're not 73 years old. Let's not make the same mistake we made back in 95. Let's go ahead and let's do this right. Give them all the power. Because, guys, it's not where a Ken's calling for a fire. I'm not calling for a firing. I know where this is going. This yesterday was embarrassing. Thursday, I think, is going to be even worse. And by on Friday morning, you will be mad and you will call for fires. Because losing on the road to New Orleans is one thing. Losing at home when they're getting ready to take over our stadium, that's a totally different one. That's different. We got anything else? Anything else? Are we done with that? Because it's apathy here. So they're ready for us to talk about the Cavs. Sorry. I know I'm supposed to hold something back because we got 7 more weeks of the season. It is what it is, folks. They'll say it in every press conference, and I'm willing to tell you. Get your battle plans ready.
There's 7 games left.
There are 7 games left. There are
ridiculous.
2 years left on the contract. There are 7 games left. It's a football season. We're talking about it like it's a sentence. Here you go.
It's 34 and anybody plus 7, 41 games.
Anybody
41
who has,
games left.
It's amazing. Anybody who has wanted to get involved, the trickle of people in, they all say done with the Browns on their thing. Yeah. Yeah. That's where they're at.
He only that's does 6 at. A year, though.
The mistake of yesterday didn't even start yesterday. The mistake of yesterday was, what, 3 years ago getting on that plane to Houston? That was probably your mistake that you made, the biggest mistake that you made. And it all led to this.
Whoopsie daisy!
I didn't mention this on the air, and I should have in the opener. Mike Vrabel was on the sidelines with a headset on yesterday. So I hope, I'm serious about this. Like, if you were, like last week I said he's getting a front row seat to whatever dysfunction that they have. And I hope that if this is going to go where I think it's going to go, where I'm resigned to the thought it is where it's going to be house cleaning at the end of the year, that you go to Mike Vrabel and offer him all the power, give him all the power. I think he's a proven head coach. Give him the power and say, you've been on the sidelines now, which his role has grown more and more. So either, one, they're putting him there and it's against maybe Stefanski's wishes, which I don't believe is true. Or two, Kevin Stefanski trusts him that much. All right, well, this is going to be the way it goes, is that you know, Kevin Stefanski's a big boy. He knows how this is going to go. They're going to clean house at the end of this year. And he is going to be made as maybe some sort of a scapegoat, but this is where you have to look at Mike Vrabel and go, you've been able to take your mental notes, or probably real notes, on all these guys. They're in your hands now. And you get your own general manager, and you get your own support staff. Rasputin over in San Diego is gone, and you've seen them all. Now you can decide who the real football players are. Because this season is going to end to a point where nobody should be safe. I don't know if there's another win on the schedule. I don't think there is. They could be 2-15. I don't know if there's another win on this schedule.
I think that is looking more and more likely.
Yeah.
Like, so, whatever the odds are, Mitch, see if you can find out what the odds are. All these other radio shows do gambling odds, and we don't really touch a lot of that. What the odds, what it would pay out if you were to bet against the Browns every game from here on out?
Has to be good.
Just that they're going to lose every game. No point spreads or anything like that. Just that they are flat out going to lose out.
Because has to be good.
I think that is the most likely conclusion at this point, right?
Yeah.
What games, especially after what you saw in the fourth quarter, after what you heard from the guys after the game, and what it's going to be like from here on out. I mean, yesterday, I texted some people that were at the game. Yeah, well, I'll just say, I texted Zach Jackson yesterday. I said, is Nick Chubb on a pitch count? Like, he just sat out an entire quarter yesterday, and he was standing on the sidelines in his helmet, with his helmet on, and never came into the game.
Had 11 carries, 50 yards.
In that quarter, and he actually
looked good.
He had some good runs.
Yeah.
He had some good. I know that fourth down run, he kind of ran right into the offensive line. But outside of that, I thought, oh, okay, Nick's got a little Nick Chubb back, and then he was grounded.
Well, that's still man
on
man.
And I'm like, what is that?
That's still man on man. You got to get a push. That's still man on man. I wasn't blaming him on that.
No, but I'm saying is why was it that he just sat out an entire quarter?
I don't know, Anthony.
Like, doesn't
maybe
he have
on a pitch count?
Doesn't he have incentives he needs to hit?
I'm not sure. It's a Ken Dorsey offense. Keith had sent us some stats before the show. They're even more depressing than you could even imagine about what the Ken Dorsey offense looks like with the Browns so far. And not all of it's obviously on Ken Dorsey. Here it is. Browns, $190 million offense. You ready? $191 million. So that extra million counts. Second worst offense in the league, averaging 16.2 points a game. Bills, third highest scoring offense, 29.1 points a game last season in 9 games after firing Dorsey. Bills averaged 27.1 points a game. Oh, he writes, by the way, the Browns have played 7 of the worst 13 scoring defenses in the NFL. They're one of them, so really 12 others.
Yeah, that was the other thing. Some people are giving me a hard time about, because Jerry Jeudy, finally, a run after the catch, finally, a huge, huge, big-time playmaking situation from a wide receiver, yeah. and it was Jerry Jeudy. And I kind of just beat me being me and just, you know, kind of fed up with the Browns. But that was a fun play. And I go, well, does it count if it's against a Joe Woods defense? And I'm like, Joe Woods will make everybody look good. And yesterday, Jameis had almost 400 yards. They only had 14 points. I kept looking at the scoreboard going, how do we only have this many points?
And no turnovers.
No turnovers. Jameis, that was, they wasted a perfectly good Jameis Winston game.
Two false starts.
By the way, I promised I'd talk Cavs. Do the Browns' dysfunction make you feel better about the Cavs?
Yes.
Do they make you more excited about the Cavs?
100%. This has been the easiest transition ever to make from one sport to the next.
You and I know a couple of Cavs fans, and they balk at that conversation because they're basketball first people, and they say you should. No. I think everybody shares, yes, it's a football area. Yes, the Browns, because they play football, would predominantly be the organization that people care about the most. However, if you're a big-time basketball fan or a baseball fan, you hate hearing that, but you probably know the truth. You can look at one season. Usually it's the Guardians doing so well at the end of the year, and then it's like, all right, here we go. The rest of the season's Browns. This is a 15-0 start. And Donovan Mitchell, which I didn't even know this until yesterday, Kenny Atkinson had planned to sit Donovan Mitchell for a month leading up to this. Like, this was going to be the day that he was going to rest, quote-unquote, Donovan Mitchell was yesterday. And you were a 10-point favorite in that game against Charlotte. And Charlotte's a team that struggles. I understand that. But to go out there without Donovan Mitchell and to play well, I thought that they played well. I thought they controlled things. I thought Evan Mobley did a good job. I mean, I could say all the platitudes I want. Ty Jerome.
What a revelation.
Now that he's actually on the floor and not on the golf course, thank God.
This was worth.
He's been great.
Can't you say this was worth him?
He's been great.
Basically skipping an entire season.
Maybe, yeah.
And
yeah.
Even though none of us were clued in on it, the team wasn't really honest about it. And the next thing you know, I don't even know if maybe he wasn't honest about it. But maybe it just didn't go well. Maybe it's just one of these injuries just didn't go well for whatever reason. And it's been worth it because he's come back. And I'm telling you, Darius, unbelievable.
Yeah.
And then there is no drop-off when they go with Ty Jerome.
He was one of the names that I was like, he wasn't playing. And then I saw him playing golf. I'm going, well, what are we doing here? Like, he was one of the arguments that I made about Kobe Altman. But when you have him back, I think, and this is early in the season, folks, he may be, if you have him healthy, he may be a predominant reason why you're so apt to, hey, we don't need to go trading for these mercurial figures here just because they fill a quote-unquote void. If you have a guy like Ty Jerome back, and especially if you have him with a Dean Wade, you can stretch things out a little bit better. Now, things are going to change as the season goes on. You'll be bringing back Max Strus from injury. That's going to change things. But Ty Jerome has been worth his weight in gold so far this season. But I was just buoyed by that thought of, man, you're at home. You definitely, because there's times where in an NBA game you go, well, yeah, so-and-so sits and it should give a better chance, but that's not how it goes. And I was prepared for the Charlotte Hornets to come out, try hard, and get a win yesterday. And I was so pleasantly, no, I can't say surprised. I was just so pleasantly relieved, elated because of what had happened earlier in the day. I was so much happier that the Cavaliers won. And I was so much happier that the Cavaliers looked good doing it.
And it would have sucked if their streak ended and it's just, oh yeah, Donovan Mitchell didn't play. This was a planned absence. That kind of would have sucked. It would have been like, oh, we're kind of chasing something special here. And yet this is the team that overachieves. We've started the show with a team that underachieves and has underachieved a lot of times in our life. This is a Cavs team that is overachieving. We knew they'd win a lot of regular season games. This is beyond what anybody thought was possible. This is awesome.
They're going to approach 60, and they might
be easily.
They might approach the 66 number. I don't know. That's a high number. I know what happened at the end of the year, but they might approach that. I mean, that's how good it is to start things off. In fact, they're so perfect, they've left us arguing about clocks, and that's coming up at 7:20.
Does Lima like? Or does Lima no like?
Like?
Tell me likey.
I'm liking it.
I like it a lot.
No like.
He doesn't like you.
I don't like you either.
You're tacky and I hate you.
Like or no like? Like or no like?
But I definitely knew what I liked, and I definitely knew what I didn't like.
Well, we got to start out on a high note.
Lima likes.
Your Cavaliers just putting up 128 yesterday. The point totals, Kenny, have reached absurdity. I was telling Ken before the show, if I just dropped you like 15 years ago, dropped you into 2024. They're like, oh, give me this stretch for the Cavs. Oh, they scored 128, 144 against Chicago, 114 against Philly, 119 against Chicago, 136 Golden State, 131 New Orleans, 134 against the Lakers, 136 Toronto, 135 Washington. You said, did they change the way we tally points in the NBA?
What's happened to the game I loved?
Yes. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible that they continue, even without Donovan Mitchell. And we already talked about Darius Garland.
I'm alive.
Ty Jerome yesterday. Like, I mean, I know Donovan Mitchell didn't play, but Jerome, 9 of 15 from the field, 4 of 7 from 3, had 24 points and 8 assists. This guy is a freak right now. He is like an all-time great bench player, how he was playing right now.
He's outstanding.
It is awesome. Which, outstanding. Because of the wins, it has given us a brand new Cleveland tradition.
Lima likes.
What do you know about the Cavs Frog, Kenny?
Yeah, I didn't hear about this until the Cavs Frog came into the studios a couple of days ago, like last week. And I go, what is what? And there's a person in an inflatable frog or a frog suit.
Oh, what do you know about the Cavs Frog?
The same time when the people from another station in the building went, hey, Cavs Frog's coming in. And I go, what are you talking about? And then I looked it up and now I know.
Mitch, what do you know about the Cavs Frog?
I know as much as you guys do.
So the article that Fedor put up said this kind of had nothing to do with the Cavs. It's just a guy that put on a frog outfit right outside, a frog costume right outside Rocket Mortgage. Yeah.
Okay.
And now the Cavs have embraced it. The fans have embraced it. Instagram following is blowing up. The Cavs Frog, is this going to be something sticking around for a while?
I like things like this, so I hope so.
It seems like it was built organically.
I like organic things like this. Yes, because I hope it sticks.
Think about it. If it was something that the Cavs orchestrated and then they, hey, we're going to do this new victory thing because we got this win streak. You know damn well what would happen. They would lose. They would lose immediately, and then that would be the end of the Cavs Frog.
Cavs Frog or the Browns players dancing after plays and giving up touchdowns later in the drive?
Do the Browns need a Cavs Frog?
Browns need a seance. Gotta call Paul Brown or somebody and say you're sorry. You gotta do something.
I'm starting a new market watch. How much are the frog costumes on Amazon right now?
Come on. Could we have a Cavs Frog night? Where every fan dresses like a frog.
Well, I don't want a Cavs fraud frog.
No, we wouldn't want that at all.
No, you don't.
But they're not frauds, and you're going to find that out tomorrow when they take on the Boston Celtics.
Lima no like.
You know, just watching the Browns yesterday, and then I'm back to envious football fandom, where I'm watching all the other teams, and I'm envious. And I saw yesterday was an infomercial for Jim Harbaugh. I know they almost coughed it up in the second half. But I'm watching Jim Harbaugh before the game with Justin Herbert and Chris Collinsworth go on and on about how much fun it must be to play for that head coach. And what are they doing? They're 7-3. They are 7-3.
Football guys playing football, man.
It just looks like he's having plays catch. Herbert is throwing darts at him before the game. He took Herbert by the helmet and had a joy on his face. Like, I've never seen anything like it. And what do you know? They're 7-3.
I know why everybody else hates Jim Harbaugh for obvious reasons. And I understand why. But the reason I like Jim Harbaugh in the NFL so much is because it's common sense. Like, nothing against the Staley. You know I like Brandon Staley because of the family and that whole thing. But it's like, man, we don't need to reinvent the wheel here, man. Like, sometimes, yeah, you know what? 4th and 6 means go ahead and punt it away and go play defense. Yeah. It means take care of your quarterback.
And draft an offensive lineman in the first round.
It means that there is such a thing as momentum. That's what it means. There's such a thing as common sense. Yeah. And not about playing scared. That's not about that. It's about playing into the hands of your players and knowing them as people and knowing what they can do and what they can't do. And Jim Harbaugh does that.
And it's like, good coach, goes to football team, immediately turns football team around. Guys, it's that easy, right?
Andy Reid does that. Sean McDermott does that.
Well, we got
Dan Campbell does that.
Well, we got another one. Sean Payton, 38-6, Denver. This was supposed to be a total like rebuild year for the Broncos. Like, hey, the Bo Nix thing, but come on, can Sean Payton really be that into Bo Nix? 38-6, they dominated the Atlanta Falcons yesterday. And all of a sudden, Bo Nix is like turning into this respectable NFL quarterback that, I mean, the first time I saw him this year, I'm like, well, he's terrible. That guy is not going to last the year. And yesterday, Bo Nix, 28 of 33, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions, basically a perfect quarterback.
Heaven help me.
Bo Nix. We had Deshaun Watson and Super Bowl aspirations this year.
And they had Bo Nix.
Bo Nix. And they should have beaten the Chiefs. They've had opportunities. I mean, they're 6-5. They should. Who knows? Like, that is a team that I look on the schedule. We play them December 2nd on Monday Night Football.
That's why I kind of like those college football journeymen. Cam Ward.
Cam Ward.
Lemon, no likes.
The UFC and the Stipe fight. Total disaster. First of all.
Lemon, no likes.
Started at 1:05 a.m. 1:05. A championship fight. I know it's Saturday night. I know that it's not single Lima anymore. I have to get up at 5:30 a.m. Like, this isn't a weekend. There's no such thing as weekends anymore. I have to get up, but I had to watch Stipe. I had to support him. And about 2 seconds into that fight, I knew he had no chance. I am also
Lima no likes.
Officially retiring from the UFC. Stipe retired from the UFC.
I'm done. I'm hanging him up. I'm retiring. Thank God.
Well, Stipe, you've had an incredible career. You're the most accomplished heavyweight of all time. It's been an amazing ride, and thank you for everything. Thank you. Stipe Miocic, ladies and gentlemen.
Audio courtesy of UFC.
ESPN.
And ESPN.
ESPN.
And Joe Rogan, who is still waiting a cabinet confirmation at this point. Kenny, do you have any intel?
I'd certainly rather have him than one other person that was named in there.
Awesome career.
Outside of the octagon.
Yeah, right. Awesome career for Stipe. We do have to give it up. Sucked that this fight should have been fought like 6 years ago. But Stipe had to wait and wait and wait for a junkie to actually get cleared to be able to, you know, get in the octagon.
Whoa!
I'm going to play this.
Reckless speculation. Is that speculation?
It's not speculation.
The guy can't stay clean. And so Stipe had to wait it out. And so Father Time hit Stipe. Maybe Stipe should have been allowed to take the same stuff that the other guy's allowed to take. Maybe that would have helped.
Well, he actually has a respectable job outside of this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's right.
He protects our community.
That's right. He's a decent man in the octagon. You know, the guy they could never promote and really refused to promote. They would promote his undercards before they would promote him. So he's fighting at 43 years old, 1:05 Eastern Standard at Madison Square Garden. Because that's what we want Stipe, the 43-year-old, to be doing. I mean, the guy normally is out there, you know, actually saving lives and being a hero. He has to fight that guy yesterday, one of the worst people in sports history, John Bones Jones. Anyway, so that was miserable. We didn't even get to Tyson and that disaster of a fight.
I couldn't get to Tyson. I could not log in. I could not get into the fight. It just did the circle the entire time.
We'll get to that a little bit later.
Yes, we sure as hell will. Fabulous as always.